Local news, culture, and NPR.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. We have a packed show for you today, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll learn more about a new music video that's debuting this Sunday in Niles-Burg from the Basic Bitches. But first, let's get to some news. For some families, putting healthy foods on the table has never felt more challenging. Earlier this month, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said that Trump administration's decision to cut $1 billion in federal funding allocated for food banks to purchase food for schools and childcare centers were hurt to struggling New Yorkers. Demand for emergency food is also up 30%, according to local food pantries in Sullivan County. But what's behind this jump? Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar spoke with Audrey Garo, executive director of Single Bite, a nonprofit providing free, nutritious meals in the Catskills region. Garo broke down what's driving the sharp increase in demand.
Food pantries in New York are seeing increased demand for emergency food the past few months. At a Sullivan County legislator meeting on April 3rd, Colleen Monahan, executive director of Sullivan County Cornell Cooperative Extension, shared that inquiries to Sullivan Fresh for emergency food deliveries have increased by more than 33% since January of 2025. Here's Monahan explaining to county legislators what this means locally.
We're talking about hundreds of inquiries per week just to our pantry alone. At the same time, the availability of USDA commodity selections at the regional food bank have decreased, along with the availability and selection of healthy, local, and regional farm fresh products, digging right into our local and regional farm and food systems viability.
The rise in food insecurity also coincides with the growing number of unhoused people in the Hudson Valley region and widespread federal and local layoffs, including the PepsiCo plant closure in Liberty, which announced the layoffs of nearly 300 workers. A 2024 report from the Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress also revealed that the number of school children living in hotels in the Hudson Valley area has more than doubled in the last two decades. I spoke to Audrey Garo, executive director of A Single Bite, a nonprofit in Liberty delivering healthy food to local families, about what's behind the rise in food insecurity and what this means for residents locally.
In a county where one in five children doesn't get enough to eat, we've really taken on the role of feeding families. What we call our family meal program provides a scratch-made meal that is comprised as much as possible of local ingredients. Those meals are made here in our kitchen at the Catskills Food Hub in Liberty, which is where we're located. We're feeding right now about, it's disturbing to say, but over 850 people a week. More than half of those people are children. What we do is try to get one healthy meal on the table every week for those families in need. We only ask one or two questions of them. We really just need to know where they live, how many people are in their household, and they just have to tell us that they have some need for food. And we're really proud to be able to do that. Shockingly, or maybe not, for people that have been listening to the news, we have seen over the past 2 to 3 weeks almost a 30% increase in requests for meals. So those are new families coming to us, in addition to the 650 plus families that we were already feeding at the start of the year.
That's a pretty big percentage of a jump. What are the factors that are contributing to that increase?
People find themselves in situations where they just can't afford enough food for their family, let alone healthy food options. We hear from families that they have recently had a change in their living situation. One or two of the primary earners in the family have had a change in their situation. We're hearing more about, as we did during COVID, multi-generations moving back into the same household. So there are parents and guardians who are feeding not only school-age children, but in some cases, children that have just recently left the house and have to return. Unfortunately, in Sullivan County, there are people who are living in temporary housing for a variety of reasons. They lack access not only to a grocery store, transportation can be a barrier to that, but as I said, finances, people are deciding whether to pay their bills or go to the grocery store in a lot of cases. And we take down minimal information, as I said, and get them food just as soon as we possibly can, because we know they want to do the best that they can for their families, especially for the kids in their care. So we just try to get them as much food as we can, as quickly as we can.
Yeah, and I imagine that taking minimal information is probably a benefit for the folks seeking service. I was chatting with an immigration advocacy organization last week, and they were saying that immigrants in more rural areas right now are facing increasing isolation and fear of accessing services. Is that something that you're seeing with your organization?
We have responded to what we hear, sometimes indirectly. We are already in the habit of calling or texting to let people know that we were dropping their food off so that they knew who was coming near where they were living. And so what we're trying to do is alleviate any concerns that people have about their privacy, about anyone who might be look personal information. We really just try to respect the fact that people are living with more concerns and different concerns than perhaps they were several months ago. We deliver meals basically from one end of the county to the other. We have families that are living in Eldred. We have families living on the outskirts of Roscoe, families that are nearly in Orange County, and others that are very close to Pennsylvania. So our volunteers are just amazingly generous with their time. They basically take food to wherever the people are that need it in a rural county like ours. That can be a pretty remote location.
If you want more of that report, you can visit our website at wjffradio.org. Stay tuned. We'll learn more about a free concert that's happening this Sunday in Ellensburg.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I think what Trump's doing is awesome. So if you read the book, The Art of the Deal, he goes in high. So he's asking for a ridiculous tariff, like 30%. And when that country might be given 20%, all he's trying to do is start off high, end up in the middle.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. On a Friday evening, I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Thank you so much for joining me. Sullivan County's very own Basic Bitches will be debuting a brand new music video this weekend and playing some new music live. I had a chance to sit down with them recently and talk about their new music video, what it took to make the video, and what can folks expect this Sunday. Naomi and Crystal, welcome back to the show. You have this brand new music video that's going to debut this Sunday at the 108 Main in Narrowsburg. The video is called There Is No Crying in Baseball. So let's start with the basics. What inspired the concept of There's No Crying in Baseball? Naomi, you want to start?
Sure. So the title is, I think everybody probably figured out, borrowed from the movie A League of Their Own. And so the song is really about... feeling inadequate, or society making you feel inadequate, when you don't deserve to, I guess. Crystal, is that a succinct way of saying that?
Yeah. And I think when we were sort of writing this song and thinking about it, you know, we kept thinking about all of the ways, and it's a lyric in the song, like all the ways we're underestimated, all the ways that people try to kind of keep you in a box and keep you contained and kind of create a narrative for you. So the song is really pushing back against that and against all of the boundaries that, you know, people kind of project onto you, and really kind of just saying, no, like we don't have to be one thing or the other. We can be who we are, and you shouldn't underestimate that. And I think there's a lot of power in that. And we tried to really make that come through in the song itself.
Right. Now, the video was filmed at Memory Lane, Port Jervis. How did that location come into the picture? Did you know about the space beforehand, or?
We definitely did. We'd been there a couple times. I took my mom there when she came to visit once. And we just, you know, we knew that it was there. We knew that it was really cool, and we knew that it had a good look. So when we were thinking about locations for the video, you know, the whole idea of it being in a bowling alley kind of, I think that was mostly the director, Alex Spott's idea. And she suggested the location, and we were immediately like, oh yeah, absolutely. That's the right spot. It's local. It's cool. People know it. So it just kind of made sense. And it did everything we needed it to do in the video. It looks great. And everybody who worked there was so nice and was so on board and excited to have this video filmed in their space. It was great.
It's very on brand for us to have a song that has baseball in the title, but the video is bowling. The people there are so great. If anybody in the area wants to go bowling, I highly recommend Memory Lanes.
Go ahead. Sorry, Naomi.
No, I was just going to say, personally, I'm terrible at bowling. I don't really enjoy it, but I enjoy the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been, and I just look in pictures online of it, and it's like the old school type of bowling alley that, you know, right now doesn't really exist anymore in a lot of places.
Yeah. Great snacks as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of on the perfect line of like being modern enough, but not too modern. You know, it's still got like a very like 90s neon carpet with like fun graphics and stuff. And like, it looks vintage without looking like, you know, old. It's really bright and it's really fun. And like everything really popped in the video. We were so excited to just like see that the location kind of come to life the way that it did.
Yeah. Now, you received partial funding through the NISCA grant for this video. You just want to talk about the sort of the process of that and how that sort of contributed to the making of this video?
Yeah, so it's administered through the DVAA in Narrowsburg. And I will just note that I do now work there, but we got the grant a year ago before I was an employee. I would not actually be eligible now. But every year, they run the Arts for Sullivan grant program, and it's three different types of grants, but one of them is the Individual Artists Fellowship, which is in three categories. It's visual, literary, and compositional arts, which is the one that we received for this video. And they open at the start of the year and they close, I think, around March or April. So we've missed it for this year, but I highly recommend all local artists and musicians having that on their radar for next year, because it's like a really great source of local funding, comes through the state and then is just administered by the DVAA.
I was just going to say, we
sort of knew that the grant was out there and available, and the compositional grant specifically felt like there was enough kind of room for us to pitch this as an idea and as like a compelling grant proposal. You know, we're a local band, like this is an original project that we want to put together. And you know, the grant funding allowed us to make this so much more of a substantial production than it would have been otherwise, because we also put out three videos last year that we entirely like DIY'd our way into making. And that was mostly Naomi. She did all of the editing and the filming, and they look great. But there are limits to what you can do. And this grant really allowed us to have, you know, just make one of the like best looking videos that we've ever made, and bring in a whole crew and to work with this incredible director, have a great location. Like, it really made it feel so, so much bigger and more like just so much bigger and better than it could have been on our own.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's lit well. It's the production. It looks great on the music video. Now, let's talk about music videos, because, you know, the landscape of music has changed so much over the years. And now with streaming and Spotify, Apple Music, all this stuff, you know, is it, you being in the band, you know, is it still, obviously it is because you made a music video, but how important is a music video nowadays?
Well, it's sort of, it's different from how it used to be. I mean, people used to make music videos because they were trying to get on MTV or local access TV or whatever, you know, but it's now, as a band, it's a couple of things. It's a way to reach a new audience. So there are people who are just looking for music videos. There are people who are looking for, I mean, this is like, I'm not sure if we're calling it horror, but it's like horror adjacent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people for whom that is an interest. We are hoping to get this in some film festivals. Like, it's another way to get people to hear us. It's another way to get media outlets to cover us, because this record came out a little while ago. It's not brand new music, but the video is brand new. There's also a whole subsect of internet users who primarily get their music through YouTube. And I think a lot of people forget that, especially in the conversations about how little streaming services pay, because YouTube pays even less. but like, that is how a group of people consume music, to just start one place and let the algorithm take them on a journey. So it's not the same thing as 20 years ago, when people would funnel all their money into a music video in the hopes of getting it on TV somehow. But it's still a very important tool, I think.
And I think also a vehicle for collaboration. You know, it also allows us an opportunity to work with people that we might not otherwise have had the opportunity to work with. I mean, I'm so glad we got to work with Alex Bott, the director, and her whole crew, because I don't know how else we would have been able to do that. But it was such a great match and such a good fit, and we got such a great sort of product out of it, that I don't know how we would have been able to do that otherwise. So it also offers us another avenue to like explore the look and feel of the band. Like, we have another vehicle to present ourselves. And that is also a really cool, you know, benefit of being able to make a video. You know, we can kind of, it's a different way of performing. Like, we love performing live, but performing in a music video is a very, very different sort of way to put yourself out there to people.
Yeah. Yeah, you have content now for your social media. And like I said, people do follow YouTube and get music from there. And you mentioned the director, Alex Bott. Can you talk about what was it like working with the director and a crew and having all that people involved? Like I said before, it was just you and Naomi just creating these music videos. But now you have a sort of more creatives behind you. How was that process?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Alex is truly very, very gifted. We met her at the Big Eddie Film Festival, where she had her short, No Other Gods But Me, which is online. I highly recommend go and find it. It's beautiful and funny and very cool looking. And as soon as we saw how it looked, we were like, oh, wow, I would love to work with her. This is amazing. And then it turned out she really wanted to have a go at making a music video. She'd never made one before. So that's kind of how it started. Crystal, do you want to?
Yeah. You know, and seeing her work at the Big Eddie Film Festival, not only did it like look amazing and all the things Naomi said, but we just knew that she would get it. You know, the themes that she works with, you know, are about all of the themes we were thinking about in the video, about sort of feminism and being underestimated and being, you know, working against expectations and like maintaining a sense of humor, but there is also something kind of dark and, you know, a little bit sinister, but, you know, really like harnessing this idea of like power. And it was great. So we knew that she would get it. So when we went to put the grant proposal together, we reached out to her and said, this is what we're thinking. Like, here's the song. Just tell us what you think is going to work. Like, where does your mind go when you hear this song? We're open for whatever. And then she came back with a couple of treatments, and they were all like dead on, you know, things that we couldn't have expected, but immediately knew like, oh yeah, totally. Bowling alley, like severed heads. Yeah, let's do it.
Now, in watching the music video, I see some familiar faces, some local faces that were there. So you would talk about, you know, sort of some of the guest appearances that you have, and how did the sort of community get involved?
Yeah, you want to take it?
Sure. Oh. Yeah. We wanted this to be a truly local effort. Like, we really wanted to include people who have been on board with us as a band, you know, for the years that we've been here, you know, in Sullivan County and beyond. Like, and we knew that people were excited that we were doing this. So we knew people were excited that we were taking this on, and we knew that people wanted to get involved. So we just kind of started asking around. And I mean, pretty much everybody that we asked, regardless of what we asked them to do, was up for it. You know, whether it was be in the video, be a PA, like help us carry things, like whatever, like do behind the scenes photography for us. Like everybody was just totally up for it. So, you know, we just asked. And sometimes that's all you need to do is just ask. And it was so awesome and so sort of heartwarming and exciting that people wanted to get involved because they wanted to be a part of this cool thing that we were making. You know, we were also very excited to cast the coolest preteen girls in the general area to be in this video. It's like a real all-star crew of like really, really cool girls. So we were very, very excited that they were up for it too, because they're the real stars of the show, honestly.
Now you are a live act. You're performing at the 108 Main this Sunday, after debuting the music video. You've been around for a while, performing a while, writing music this past winter. How do you think your sound or your message sort of has evolved with this project or compared to sort of your earlier work?
Well, I mean, the band has been on a bit of a journey. The band has existed in some form or another since 2014. Crystal is the fourth and final drummer. So, you know, just by virtue of having different drummers, there's been different sounds. And before Crystal joined the band, there were not really any backing vocals. I was the main vocalist. I was the only vocalist on everything. And like having someone in who could sing. So it's not just backing vocals. We trade off who is the lead singer. I mean, on this song that the video is for, Crystal sings the chorus. So that's been on a real journey. And then I feel like the stuff we're writing now is like, we're moving a little bit more into a sort of vintagey garage rocky area that's always been there, but we're sort of veering a little more into it now.
Yeah, I agree. And we're always kind of thinking about how we can kind of stay true to like our roots and what our sound is and what, you know, we want to sound like us, but how can we continue to like introduce new references and new ideas and different kind of themes into what we do. So like there are a couple of touchstones that I feel like we have when we're thinking about new, you know, writing new music or putting a new album together and like sounds that we want to try to incorporate. And like, I've kind of been thinking a lot in the writing process for these newer songs about the like, the connective tissue between like the B-52s and the Dead Kennedys. Like, where is that middle ground of like being overtly like addressing political things and current events, but like maintaining a sense of humor, like never losing sight of like the riff and the catchiness and the power of the party. Like, we want to be fun. Like, we want people to enjoy the shows, but like, we don't want to be frivolous, you know? And what is that line between having something to say and not being so heavy-handed that you get weighed down? So I think that's the line we're always trying to kind of balance on. And I think, you know, we're still trying to take big swings, but stay grounded with the stuff that we're writing. So we've got three new songs, new original songs that we're going to be playing at the show this Sunday, and one new cover, because everybody that knows us knows that we love a cover song. So we've got a very cool surprise cover. But yeah, it's been really good to be sort of thinking about how we can meet this moment as a band, but stay kind of true to who we are and like what our roots are and why we got into doing this. You know, music is powerful, but like we want to have fun and we want to make art that feels good and feels true and feels honest, but that doesn't feel like a chore or a task, both for us and for the audience, I think.
Yeah, we like to keep things snappy. I played a show in Wales once and with a previous drummer, and this woman came up to me after the show and she was like, oh my God, I absolutely love your band. There were so many riffs. And every time I got really into one, you just played a different one.
Yeah, we always said the element of surprise is very important to us.
So as that sort of answers my next question I had is, you know, after people see the music video, hear the new music that's going to come out on Sunday, what do you hope people walk away with? What feeling you hope they walk away with after seeing the video and hearing the new material?
I mean, I hope that the locals are just proud of being local. Like, it's very much, it's a local production. It's a local location. It's a local cast. And it feels, it's cool as hell, but it's familiar faces. And I just, the possibilities of that you can have this kind of like higher budget, fairly slick music video, but you know all the people in it, I think is super cool.
Yeah, definitely. I agree 100%. Like, I want people to feel like they're glad that they were involved. Like, all the people that said yes immediately, 100%, I want to be a part of this, walk in and see this video and say like, yes, 100%. Like, I was a part of this and that is awesome. And I think, you know, we want to show people that side of us, like that side of us that is like, yeah, we're going to put together like a really, really cool music video that has everybody involved, you know, that is surprising, but that is still definitively us. You know, and I of course want people to be excited about the new songs and feel like it's something, the songs that they can get behind and that they want more. So that's my hope.
There's a great art community up here, I believe, in Catskills. And I think your music video shows a little bit of that. Some of the friends in there, the community members there. And, you know, you both of you yourselves are creatives and bringing everyone together. I think it's fantastic. So.
Yeah, thanks. So we're so excited, you know, to just show everybody this, you know, this really cool thing. This is the most high budget project that we've really ever worked on. So we're just like, we're really excited to be able to share it with everybody and do it in such a classic, like Sunday, like DIY, like punk rock matinee show in a local venue, you know, like get the cast and the crew involved. It's going to be like a rap party, a premiere party, a house show. Like, it's going to be all of those things that like we really kind of care about and that feel like are so core to kind of who we are and what we do as a band.
Yeah, I want to reiterate that on Sunday at 4 p.m. it is a free show. It is all ages. Come on down, come see the video, come see some of the people who are in the video, and then we're going to play a free show for you.
Yeah. And maybe show the video again. Who knows? You know, it's 3 minutes, so we also felt like, well, we could have a screening, but then what?
<You know? laughs> Play it again. Right. Play it again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. We're talking to Neil Crystal Grow, punk rock duo Basic Bitches, talking about their world premiere of their brand new music video, There Is No Crying in Baseball, happening this Sunday, April 20th at the 108 Main in Narrowsburg. Naomi, Crystal, thank you so much for talking to me, and I look forward to all your future successes. So
thank you so much for having us.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you so much to the Basic Bitches. If you want to see part of the music video before Sunday, check out our YouTube page where you can see this full interview right on our YouTube page as the part of the music video. Again, you've been listening to The Local Edition, and I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Lucy, have a good night. And to play you out, we're going to hear some of the music of the music video entitled No Crying in Baseball. Take care of yourself. Talk to you soon.
This is Callison Stratton, host of Liberation Station, a show that highlights the work of female and femme presenting performers. Liberation Station airs Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, only on Radio Catskill.